Walnutshed with AnnaValleyChook.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. Coming to you via the Talk Show airwaves on a Tuesday night, October 12th, 2010. Coming fresh off Class A ass whooping of the Florida Gators on Saturday night on ESPN. Hope everybody saw it. This is an outstanding game. LSU takes it 33-29. And what can only be described as a very, very intense, emotional game, at least for us, the fans. I'm your host, Kerry Munch. You know, Ms. Big Wee with me tonight. Mr. Patrick Morris, Van Ponchatoula. Matt?
Yep, it is raining good here.
It's raining here right now?
Oh, yeah, it's raining good. By the way, do we want to really classify that game as a butt kicking?
You know what, score-wise, it wasn't really a butt-kicking, but we dominated
defensively, it was domination.
Yes, we dominated that team.
Special teams,
turnover, they got two touchdowns, both of them inside the 20. The second one was they got a freebie there because I've rewatched it a couple times, not the whole thing. I've rewatched bits and pieces of it. That Jai Eugene pass interference penalty was one of the most bogus pass interference penalties I've ever seen in my life. Because not only did he not make any type of hand contact with him whatsoever, the ball was uncatchable. And I don't know how many times I've seen feet get tangled up in the open field and there not be a penalty call. That's the only reason I could see them throwing that flag was because the feet got tangled up and they thought they saw something that wasn't there. But the ball was uncatchable. It's a moot point by now, but it's a touchdown that shouldn't have happened because it was a 3rd-and-5 play. They would have had to settle for a field goal at that point. So, you know, whatever. It's water under the bridge. LSU wins at 33-29 behind a really, really strong effort offensively from Jared Lee. Terrence Tolliver, who is the player of the game by far. I mean, he's just outstanding game. And I got kudos to Jordan Jefferson, too. I mean, he didn't look good throwing a football. He threw a pick early. But he seems to be kind of settling in. And he and Jerry both seem to be kind of settling into what is now a two-quarterback system. There's no kind of – it's not just Jordan Jefferson coming in spots or Jerry coming in spots. It is a rotating – Jerry comes in every other or every third series type of rotation. And we'll see how long it lasts. So far, they've both played, you know, fairly well. I mean, I can't. George Jefferson didn't play well against Tennessee, but he seems to. With Jared Lee in the game, it seems to open up more of the option read, you know, quarterback keeper kind of attack that they like to run when Jefferson's in the game, as far as him keeping and running. So I expect more of it to happen, but. Before we get too involved in the game, talking about the game, ways to get in touch with us, as always, you can go to the site. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we are part of AnnaValleyChook.com, part of SB Nation, number one LSU sports blog out there. You can visit the site, visit the daily entries by Podcat, our esteemed producer behind the scenes tonight, the Pierre-Paul Kemp. You can check out his entries, Poser, who is normally with us. During the week, of course, Paul and Billy always have their things as well that they write. So that's one way to find us. You can find us by subscribing. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to us and download us to your iPods. And you can also email us if you want to. GoShow@gmail.com, GEAUXSHOW. And also we can be found on Facebook. And you can become our friend on Facebook as well. So lots of ways to interact with the show. If you have any questions, comments about anything, feel free to drop us a line, email the show, leave a comment on the Facebook homepage, anything of that sort. So let's get right back into it, Patrick. I guess officially apologize to you on the air for really getting. I was probably the most out of hand I've been in a while watching a football game. I was. My wife and I are still having discussions about it. She's not shy about telling anybody in the family how I acted on Saturday night. So my official apologies to you for kicking over an ice chest. Luckily, it wasn't in your house. It was in the front yard. But I had no intention of you and Ricky having to go and pick it up. I was going to go pick it up. So.
Well, actually, you just gave me something to do because I was outside. I couldn't watch the TV anymore. By the way, for those of you, on this show, I did not personally watch live the last 2 minutes of the game.
You ducked your head in every once in a while. That was funny.
I was outside. I grabbed the football. I couldn't take the stupidity at certain points. And I went outside and I basically just started chunking the football at my basketball goal.
Gotcha. Like in anger, frustration, or just?
Frustration, anger, whatever.
Well, let's get into that. Let's get into that. You say stupidity, and yeah, there were times where you still question Les Miles' decision making at times. But for the most part, I thought it was a good offensive, and a good defensive game plan. What about it did you think was just? What about the game plan from Les Miles? What did you see from Les Miles on Saturday night that kind of falls under the line of stupidity?
Well, I was really getting frustrated at the end because as well as I do, you kept yelling at him, what are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? But both quarterbacks play good, but I still feel that they don't give one quarterback or the other a chance to get in rhythm because they keep all – like there would be times Jared Lee would move him all the way down the field and he'd do it with ease, it seemed like. And then, you bring Jefferson. I can understand bringing Jefferson in on the goal line and give you a couple run options, and he doesn't have to throw the ball far, so he doesn't have to read much. I don't have an issue with that. What I do have an issue with is if Jared Lee's moving you down the field so much and with ease and controlling the offense and running it as a general, why not stick him in anytime you got to do a long drive? Why would you put Jordan Jefferson in the game to – run these long drives and to get them moving down the field? He is not that kind of a quarterback. He is a spot quarterback, so to speak. He is the Tebow as a freshman quarterback. He goes in there, he knows what he's got to do, he reads the one thing, and that's about all he can do. And that's what frustrates me about, that's the one thing that frustrates me about two quarterbacks is I don't have a problem with him using Jefferson, but don't use him the majority portion of the game to manage the game. Use Jared Lee to manage the game to be your leader and get him down there. Because he has clearly shown in the last 2 to 3 weeks that when the game is on the line, that's who you want in the game, regardless of that. He is stepping up more and more, and you saw it last week. He's in the game. He's taking control. The team responds, and they're starting to gain that confidence like, okay, he's in the game. We're going to do this. And you can just tell that. And that's one of the things I'm questionable about. I don't know how you feel about the way they rotate the quarterbacks. I don't necessarily disagree with them running both of them. It gives Jared Lee a chance to step back, but I don't like the spots in which they run the quarterbacks.
But my opinion is, and it's been like I was stating it all week, and I think I brought it up Saturday night with everybody, and I'd like to see Jordan Jefferson more of, I hate to make this comparison, but I'd like to see Jordan Jefferson more in a Tim Tebow type of role that you saw with Tim Tebow in 2006 when Chris Leak was the quarterback of Florida and they won a national championship then. I like seeing Jordan Jefferson being used around the goal line. It gives you a different aspect. It makes after Jared Lee gets him down, I hate to see Jared Lee being taken out of a game after he's let the team the whole way down, but let's face it, when we're at the two-yard line, all he's going to do is hand it off 9 times out of 10 anyway. So I'm okay with Jefferson coming in on certain parts of the game, certain down and distances, because of a certain play you want to run. And I know that that's tipping your hand a little bit, but if you're executing it properly,
it's like opposite you can.
Right, yeah, and we all knew what was going on with Tim Tebow was coming into the game, but nobody could stop it. But what I'm kind of seeing now with Jared Lee in the game more and more, the offense is opening up with Jared Lee making those quick decisions and being able to throw the ball a lot more effectively than Jordan Jefferson, is that when Jefferson's coming into the game and we're running those type of plays, they're opening up more and more. You saw it at the end of the first half when we got the turnover and Jefferson came in and he broke off two like 10-plus yard runs and we got the ball inside the 20. Which I don't want to poo-poo on the game too much, but that was getting back to the frustrating thing about Les Miles. Us playing for a field goal in that situation And I know they went into halftime, and the guys in Mark Mann's studio said, you know, take points whenever you can. You're on the road. We had so much time on the clock left, and we still had a timeout. We had a chance to put Jared Lee back in the game and take some shots at the end. So I didn't like that. I think I walked out of the living room outside and slammed the door. I apologize for that too. And but you're renting that place. I wouldn't do that at your new house. And if I ever did that at your new house, you have the right to shoot me. So, but that's kind of what frustrates me. Is there was no killer instinct at the end of the half. Not that a 10-point lead is really, you know, stepping on somebody's throat. But
we had Florida on the ropes. We had them right where when we were dominating them on defense. I mean, they could do nothing. Brantley hit the ground, I don't know how many times. We were just strictly dominating them. You know, mm-hmm. they couldn't do anything. And, you know, and you could see it. But then, you know, we come back, they get a little bit of momentum swing because, you know, they got a couple of breaks, a couple of this, and Jefferson throws the interception, you know, and they right back in the game. You cannot let, you know, it might have worked against Florida, but you cannot do that. You still got Auburn coming up, you got Alabama, you got Arkansas. You can't do that against these teams consistently and expect to win the game.
No, and after they returned the kickoff and the touchdown, after we went up 26-14, the play calling got real conservative. You know, for my taste, I didn't really like that. I think you needed to. I thought it was important to come out and answer the call. You know, and we were moving the ball effectively, throwing the football with Jared Lee, and we came out. And I want to say Jordan Jefferson came out the next drive, and I think we went run pass. And we know we're infamous for doing this. We run for a couple yards, and we run a 5-yard slant on a 3rd and 7, which I was screaming about a whole lot. But I can't argue with the end result. And the end result was we got down. Jared Lee's definitely the go-to guy in a 2-minute offense without question. And just the poise, the overall poise and the calmness of the football team, I think that's kind of been understated a little bit. Everybody wants to make fun of Les Miles and talk about how he just always seems to get lucky with these situations. But, you know, how key was Jared Lee on that drive? It seemed like almost like there was a sense of they kind of knew they had it. And you know, I knew he took a fake field goal and a questionable call to extend the drive a little bit. But after that, they still didn't get flustered. They come right back with that slant pass to Terrence Oliver that worked so well, and he took it inside the 5-yard line, and it was, you know, fade route, which he got mugged on. There was no pass interference, but then he went right back to it, and it was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. Everything was beautiful about it, and we won the game. So I don't want to sit here. It almost sounds like we're having a very negative attitude towards what happened on Saturday, but the bottom line is we went into the swamp, not a difficult place to win, after they're coming off a huge blowout loss to Alabama, and we dominated them on the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, albeit the turnovers and a special teams kickoff return for a touchdown, we dominated them. We deserved to win that game, and we came out and, you know, we did, and it was a fantastic win. And, you know, we've both been critical of Les Miles, and this game didn't write everything for me with Les Miles. There's still some things I don't particularly like about him. But for this football team, I'm very excited about where we are. We got McNeese State coming up, and then we hit the gauntlet. We go to Auburn, and we come home to Alabama. So I think it's important for us this Saturday to kind of get some people healthy, work on some of the things that we're kind of struggling with, you know, one being kickoff coverage and things like that, which kind of, you know, it's kind of been slack in the last couple of weeks, and we just need to work on improving the things that kind of let us down and kept Florida in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't. I'm still, you know, it's going to take a little more than this for me to convince me that, you know, I don't want to be what they call them now, Nega Tiger or whatever, but he's still hadn't sold me, you know. I still think, you know, I still think a lot of it is luck. I mean, a lot of it is just plain out luck, you know. And granted, the one I will give him a positive here, the players will run through a brick wall for him. They will, you know. And that is when you got a lot of talent that will do anything for the coach, you know, whether it's right or wrong or whether you don't agree with the calls he's making, he could make people would deem to be the stupidest call in the world. Yet you got players that are willing to run through that wall, and sometimes you get through that wall. You get a chip in it, and that's what works, you know. So I mean, I give him credit there. He can get his players to play for him. I guess that's why he's one hell of a recruiter. I guess that's why, you know, they have their team only meetings and defended their coach to a T. You know, that's great. Now, if we get some of the intangibles, meaning the X's and O's, and the game management to match the player's intensity, then we're golden.
Right.
You know, going forward. You know, other than that, I will say one thing. When is, and maybe Stat Boy knows this, when's the last time Florida had a two-game losing streak?
It was 2007.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, well, they lost to Auburn to us the week before. When the week we played Tulane in the Superdome, they lost to Auburn that night.
Oh, well, you burst my bubble, damn.
What's that?
I was thinking it was longer than that. Heck.
No, this was talked about like during a week before the game. Actually, people were talking about, you know, it's gonna be difficult to beat Florida coming off of a loss, and then. And this is from reading message boards, and somebody was quick to point out the last time it happened was LSU defeated them for a second time in a row. And that, to my knowledge, if I'm remembering correctly, that had to have been it, because I think they lost one more game that year, if I'm not mistaken. In 2008, they went undefeated. And then last year, they only lost to Alabama in an SEC championship game. So, and they won their bowl.
You know,
game, so
one more thing I got to say on the Miles front is that and I don't know, you remember we were talking about that Biatchi guy or whatever from the Orlando Sentinel last week?
Yes, I forgot.
I don't
to
know
call
if you read what he wrote after the game.
No, I didn't. I should have went and looked it up, but I did not.
You need to read that one, because he basically, and this is where, you know how you say, okay, you can make fun of people in your own family, you can dog them or whatever else like that, but anytime anybody outside your family does it, it's all no holds barred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's basically what happened here. The guy from the Sentinel that wrote that Florida and Alabama were the only two teams that mattered, in which case they both lost this weekend. Imagine that.
What?
You know, he comes back on Sunday or Monday or whenever it was. He wrote his column and says that Miles, you know, basically he literally put it in print. Miles is an idiot, you know, all kind of stuff like that in his deal. Nothing negative against Florida. He just, LSU's just a lucky team. Miles is an idiot. Everything else like that.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't expect anything less, because we all know that the print media is a dying breed. So anything
he's
he can write to be controversial to sell newspapers, he's going to write it. But yeah, he seems like the type of prick that would write something like that after anyway, because he was proven wrong, and you know. When it's all said and done, Florida and Alabama might be playing for the SEC championship at the end of the year. We don't know. But this past weekend certainly put a dent into his into what he thought was what was going to happen at the end of the year. Because
the point is, we're 6-0, and we're 4-0 in the SEC. We're on top of the West because we're 4-0 in the SEC. Nobody expected us to be here at this point for daggone sure. And we
right.
got – We have a schedule that's set up for us. We have to go to Auburn, which is going to be one hell of a game. Then we get the whole week off to prepare for Alabama.
Right. And this is the part of the schedule where this is where the LSU team needs to prove itself, because I can't remember what you predicted in our preview show before the season started, but I had us starting out 5-0.
I had it maybe 10 wins.
And I had us losing. I had us losing 4 of the last 7 games we played, because I thought going to Florida was going to be tough. Going to Auburn was going to be tough. I didn't think we'd have a chance in hell to beat Alabama. And I thought going to Arkansas was going to be tough. And Ole Miss was kind of a question mark. But Ole Miss is, you know, really, really poor this year. But the way the offense is coming around, and I didn't expect the defense to be as lights out as it had been. And so I'm going to be the first to say I was wrong. I think we'll be competitive in every game we play here from here on out. And we have a damn good chance to win every game, because – Auburn, you watched Auburn Saturday night, they can give up some points. And our offense is starting to click with Jared Lee in the game. I think we'll be able to move the ball on them. And with our defense, I don't see any reason why we can't beat them either. So same thing with Alabama. They're very suspect in the secondary. And South Carolina exposed it. You know, Arkansas exposed it a little until Mallett made the mistakes late in the fourth quarter. But you know, Alabama's not perfect, and everybody kind of tapped them as the next big thing. And anytime, this is what I love, anytime the national media just sort of anoints somebody as the best football team in the world, you know, i.e. Oklahoma 2003, they tend to disappoint. They tend to lose at some point. So, yeah, I guess that's what it.
Well, what happens is though the other teams, no matter who you're playing, you run against a decent football team, you're going to get not only their best effort, but their best effort plus some. And mm-hmm. then you know, and if you make even the slightest mistake, yeah, you're going to get beat. There's not that much one team that is that much better than anybody else in this country.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You know?
You're right. That is.
And what's sad, I mean, you look at some of the other teams in the country right now, you know, because now we can talk national picture a little bit. You know,
mm-hmm.
how you saw the mock rankings that came out on ESPN last night or the other night and those types of things. So we can actually talk national picture now. I mean, you look at some of the stupidity out there. You got teams like Oregon, they're not going to play anybody else, except, you know, but they'll wind up losing to somebody. You got a team, you know, you still got your boys at TCU. You got a Michigan State who plays nobody from here on out. Absolutely. They play one team that's going to be pretty decent, and that's Iowa on the road. I mean, they play absolutely nobody, so they could possibly go undefeated because they don't have Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. And there's no Big Ten championship game, yet anyway.
So
it will be next year.
You possibly have two Big Ten teams undefeated, things like that. I mean, it's stupid the way the other conferences come out. And then, you know, but eventually your strength of schedule, and that's what the computers are. The one time I defend those stupid computers, you know, no offense, podcast, because I know that's your babies. But but the one time I'm going to defend them is they do take into account, look, this team has played ranked team upon ranked team upon
uh-huh.
ranked team, and the teams that don't play the ranked. Like, we're going to go down this week because we're playing McNeese State.
Right.
You know? But we're going to pick it up in the next couple of weeks should we win, because we're playing top 10 teams. Hopefully,
yeah,
if Auburn's still undefeated.
Yeah, that's why I think. I mean, all these mock BCS standings are coming out with it. It's basically a ploy just to get extra ratings for all the little college football wives and the expert shows that you see on ESPNU and all that. You know, every headline I've been watching, I was off today, so I've been watching, you know, basically ESPNU all day. I watched some of the experts, and I watched College Football Live. Every headline is, my BCS draft comes out. You know, if the season ended today, Boise State would be playing for the national championship, Ohio State would be out, and they're number one in the country. Well, the season doesn't end today, so why are we even talking about it? You know, from here on out to the end of the year, which is the last weekend in November, a lot's going to happen, and it's going to all shake out. You're not going to have, you know, I think there's 13 teams undefeated right now. In you know, trust me, there's not going to be 13 teams undefeated at the end of the year. It might be three or four, and two of those are going to be non-BCS schools. So, you know, things are going to shake out. I think Michigan State's going to get tripped up somewhere. I know they don't play anybody, but they're Michigan State. They're sporty. They're not.
Oh yeah.
You know,
no, they're
going to
trip
up somewhere.
You got a team like
Ohio State can trip up this weekend, because I'm not sold on Ohio State, and they're going to a tough place this weekend. So things are going to shake out, and I'm not naive enough to think, I don't think LSU's going to go on the field. I think we're going to slip up somewhere, and
it's going to be to somebody we don't expect.
Yeah. You know, I think it's going to be somebody we expect, and it's going to be Auburn, Alabama, Arkansas. So, you know, I don't think we lose to Ole Miss at home, but you never know. So,
yeah.
But I guess that's the beauty of it. That's what makes college football. I mean, you don't have a concrete playoff at the end. You have only two teams, but you know, from here on out, every regular season, every big regular season game for an undefeated team is an elimination game, so to speak. And Alabama, for all intents and purposes, was eliminated last week, this past Saturday, because I really do think two BCS schools will end up undefeated. Now, I think Oregon's got a shot, and I think Ohio State still has a shot, even though they got a tough test.
You're still going to have a Boise or a TCU is going to be undefeated. One of them will be undefeated.
If not both. I mean, look at the rest of their schedules. I mean, that's quite easily both of them are going to end up undefeated. So, just like last year. And they can play each other in a Fiesta Bowl again, so all I care. I don't really care. So, but, you know, and that's something I'm sure we'll talk about now next week's show a whole lot, because the first BCS rankings come out, you know, Sunday evening. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, and as far as this Saturday goes, we're not going to, I'm not going to even pretend to know anything about McNeese State. I know what LSU needs to do. I don't expect the game to be, phenomenal. I expect a minor letdown, but still good enough to beat McNeese State in Division I AA school. I'd like to see us come out and drop 50 because we haven't done that in a while.
No, but we're going to be vanilla as hell. We're just going to
–
what we're going to do, we're going to come out and we're going to run the ball. We're going to give Ridley a little bit of a rest after he hits his 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see Ware, and you're going to see those other guys, playing a lot because they're already burnt. So he's going to – okay, now here's your chance. Let's go. And I think with that being said, if you play a bunch of young guys, they got a lot of enthusiasm because they haven't played that much all year. You're going to see some big plays happen in this game as a result.
Yeah, you're going to see more and more of Michael Ford as the season goes on. He broke off a pretty nice run against Florida in the first half Saturday night. I expect to see a little bit more of him. I like how Spencer Ware is multi-dimensional. They line him up as fullback sometimes ahead of Ridley. He's used in a passing game more than any of the other running backs. So I'd like to see him kind of fine-tune some of those things and work on some of those things. And we're not going to see any other quarterbacks besides Lee and Jefferson. I expect him to come out and just keep flip-flopping back and forth the whole game.
No, and we can expect Jefferson is going to stay starting every week, just because it's a head thing, but we know who the real guy is.
Yeah, I don't expect to see a third quarterback play Saturday night.
No, not at all.
Is what I'm kind of getting into. So, it's just kind of, and like I said earlier, it's a game where things need to be fine-tuned, kind of reestablish yourself as a good kickoff coverage team like you were early in the season. Because, Tennessee broke off a couple of nice kickoff returns, and then Florida returns one for a touchdown on us. So we need to kind of reestablish that. And, how about my boy Mateo on Saturday night, forcing that fumble and then recovering it?
Without
a doubt. You have to be in body slammed early in the first quarter by the offensive lineman for Florida.
He gets up and he keeps going after you.
Yeah, he's going. And speaking of players, you touched on it earlier about players want to, they're ready to run through a wall for Les Miles. What about did you hear about the Joseph Barksdale Twitter thing?
No, I didn't. Enlighten me.
I'm paraphrasing here, but we have it on Inner Valley Shook. Basically, for those of y'all who doubted us or don't believe in us, why don't y'all come play with us for a little while and see how it really is? Kind of like a shout out to fans, and I guess kind of what I'm getting at is, and a shout out to fans and the critics, if it's working, are you okay with this team kind of banding together and kind of using us, the fans, as kind of like their motivational tactic for the rest of the season?
Well, I like the fact that, whatever it takes, the team, ultimately the team is the team. I mean, anybody that's ever played on any team, whether it's, little league or high school or anything, that when you're in that locker room together, those are your brothers. Those are it. That is it. There should be nothing else that matters at that point. You follow your dad, who at that point is your coach. You follow your coach, who at that point is your dad. Whatever else. That is your family, And if you're anything like me, family is always first. So that to me is a great thing. I think that's the best thing that could ever happen to this team. The way it happened, you may not like it as a fan. It sure gave us a hell of a lot to talk about in the first 6 weeks. But, the fact that, as an LSU fan, almost look at the scenario that we helped them.
Mm-hmm.
In a roundabout way, in a psycho way, just like we think Les Miles coaching sometimes is psycho, in a roundabout way you can think of it as a fan as we're kind of psycho, but we helped this team out because they banded together. Maybe against us. Now it's against the national media, not so much the LSU fans, because other people are talking. Now we're defending ourselves against everybody else in the country.
Yeah, and another good thing somebody wrote on the site, I think it was Jarls, our basketball expert, talking about the things that the things that he's hearing the national media talk about, and the things he's not hearing them talk about. And I'm gonna pull this up and read some of this because it's really interesting. It's titled LSU-related things in the media. What's been mentioned, what hasn't been mentioned? And he goes on to state, has been mentioned, Les Miles is insane. Les Miles is insanely lucky. Les Miles has to deal with the devil or something, which is things that we all say.
Sold his soul to the devil, yeah, I heard that.
Right. Things that have not been mentioned. Jared Lee's, you know, perseverance, vengeance in the swamp. Terrence Tolliver's career game-winning touchdown. Josh Jasper's heads-up play that he made after the bad pitch. This one I found really cool. Drake Nevis statistically having a better season right now than Ndamukong Suh was at this point last year.
Yep, heard that one today.
I like that. All right, then talks about Mateo, best defensive freshman in the SEC. I'd say that's probably hands down.
Oh yeah.
And then overall the defense, which is top five in the nation. And there's things that you're not hearing about because every time they're talking about us, and I guess they say, you know, the old adage is no bad. How's it going?
No foolish.
No bad press. All press is good press, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. No such thing as bad press, you know, because it's still getting the name out there. But, you know, it's always about Les Miles and, you know, how lucky he is, and he's a riverboat gambler. And, you know, they even showed the clip. They asked Urban Meyer after the game if he had a comment on it, and he kind of shrugged it off and, you know, said, I can't have to comment about that. He's an asshole anyway. I hate Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah,
I still take him as a head coach. But as of right now, I don't like him. So, but that's just kind of the thing that you'll hear, that you'll go on to hear. And it's going to be like that all year. So we might as well just get used to it because.
But can you imagine how much Drake Nevis's draft stock is just shooting up the chart right now?
Yeah. And what is he? Is he he's a junior?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I think he's been around for 3 years now, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's a Richard.
He is just flying up the charts right now.
To be able to make those type of plays at a defensive tackle position where your job is mainly just to plug holes and kind of take up space for other guys to make plays. I mean, that guy is just making plays all over the place. And Kelvin Shepard, too, he's still all over
the
place.
Remember the last couple years when we said, okay, what's wrong with the defense? You know, we can't get any line play. And we've always been strong in the line. In the last couple of years, we haven't. We're back to having that strong line play, which opens everything up. Plus, you got shut down corners. So, I mean, you've got the package right now.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into the picks and kind of wrap things up. I don't think there's anything else that we forgot to touch on. Is there anything that we forgot to touch on? No show this Saturday morning. Sorry to disappoint our loyal Saturday morning listening fans, but Pocket stated, and I quote, he refuses to do a show with the Marvin and J.J. Iowa since
being I won't be there and you won't be there, yeah.
Right, yeah. The glue that holds everything together, me and Patrick, tailgate's just going to fall apart without us there. Four people will show up.
Yep. Oh, well.
They'll have nobody to beat in Holy Board.
No, or nobody that talks more crap when they're getting beat in Holy Board.
Let's go ahead and get into the picks. We'll kind of blow through this real quick. Just bad weekend all around for everybody. So we're not doing too well on these picks, but you know, it happens down year and all.
Uh-huh.
All right, first off, Arkansas at Auburn. Auburn is a 2-point favorite.
I know Auburn's at home, but I don't like Auburn's defense. I like Cam Newton. I like the way they do things on offense. This is going to be a flat-out shootout, in my opinion. But I think Ryan Mallett's going to come out and make enough plays, and I think Arkansas is going to win this game on the road at Auburn this weekend. So, yeah, they cover.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. I think this is Auburn's stiffest test, and we're really going to see – I think they're really going to get a true beat on where they are. Now, they may come out and just surprise the hell out of us and blow the hell out of Arkansas, in which case – we're going to have one hell of a game next week. But I'm hoping that Auburn wins, but I'm picking Arkansas.
All right, next game on the schedule, it's on there because we like making painful local school picks. Idaho at La Tech. La Tech's a 1-point favorite.
La Tech.
I got to go with La Tech, too.
All right, next one. Iowa at Michigan. Iowa is a 3-point favorite.
I think Michigan State set up a blueprint, and I think Iowa's going to go out and play the same type of defense as Donald Robinson, and think Michigan's going to lose two in a row, and Iowa's going to win and cover.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with Michigan here because I think they'll bounce back. I don't, for some reason, it's another gut feeling call, but I'm going to have to pick Michigan at home. I don't think Iowa is that great a team. That's why I was kind of skeptical about Michigan State playing them later on.
All right, next up, Ole Miss travels to Alabama. Alabama is a 20-point favorite.
Bama.
Wow, Bama is just going to blow the doors off of this one.
I like Bama. I like Bama big.
Yeah, Bama by about 45 points.
I also like Bama big against South Carolina, too. So.
Well.
And I'm thinking of Houston Nut special on this one, but we'll see. Next up, Mississippi State goes to Florida. Florida is an 8-point favorite.
Now, Mississippi State's quietly 4-2. They beat Georgia. They lost to us. I don't know if they played many other SEC games at this point. I still like Florida. Florida's not going to be too happy because they lost two in a row. In the swamp, I like Florida to cover.
Yeah, there's no way that Florida loses three in a row, and there's no way the guns are held back. If they get a chance to just run the score up, they're going to do everything they can. Just because Urban Meyer's got to shut up the crowd in Gainesville, because I heard they're worse than us.
Yeah, they got pretty bad on Saturday.
They were blowing any chance they got Saturday.
Yep. They've got our problems. All right, next up, undefeated. Number 21, Missouri, 5-0, travels to A&M. A&M is a 3-point favorite. Is that right?
Yes, they are. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's correct, and I agree with it. I like A&M. I like A&M to cover. I like, this is one of those undefeated teams that you wasn't really expecting to be undefeated at this point in the season. But I like A&M at Kyle Field to win, and I'll give the points on this one as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take Missouri in this one. I saw A&M play. They can play at times, but they run out of gas. So I have to take Missouri. Even though I haven't seen Missouri play, they are 5-0, so I'll have to stick with that until they lose.
All right, next one. Ohio State at Wisconsin. Ohio is getting 6 points on this one.
No, they're given.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's getting 6.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Wisconsin's home field record over the last, I don't know how many years, I guess since the turn of the century, is like 40-4, something like that. I mean, they're really good at home. Things didn't go as planned against Michigan State, but I like Wisconsin to keep this one close against the Buckeyes. And I don't know if they win, but I like Wisconsin to keep it close, and I like them to cover.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wisconsin, too, at Camp Randall. I'm gonna go with Camp Randall here and say that Wisconsin's actually going to win this game and burst Ohio State's bubble again. So, I'm picking it for two reasons, because I really want Wisconsin to win and because I just really think they are.
All right, next up, another undefeated ranked Big 12 team, Oklahoma State at 5-0, travels to Texas Tech. Texas Tech is favored by 3.
That Tubby experiment at Texas Tech, I don't think it's going to last too long. I like Oklahoma State to go out there and take care of business, and I will give the points and take Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm going to give the points, too. It's amazing how many undefeated Big 12 teams are going to an opponent and giving points to a team that is supposedly on record less than them, you know? So, God, that's crazy. But anyway, I got to say Oklahoma State wins this one, touchdown or two.
All right, next up, we're heading to the Pac-10. Oregon State travels to UW. They are favored by 2.
I like Oregon State because they've been far more battle-tested than Washington. They've already played Boise, and then they played TCU already, didn't they? They played both of those teams already, have they not?
Yep, TCU's first game of the season for them.
Yeah, and they lost both. That's right. They lost both of those games. That's their only two losses. So their only two losses are two top five teams. So I like them to go to UW, and I will I'll take Oregon State because I mean they're getting 2.5. So no, I'm sorry, Washington's getting 2.5. It's really confusing to read, but I'm gonna take Oregon State to cover.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say that Oregon State goes to Washington, and you know Washington's got one player, and that's it. You know.
Yeah.
I don't care what you say. They only have one player. Oregon State will win this, and they'll cover.
All right, next up, we head to the Big East. Pittsburgh and the Wonstash travel to the Big East leading Syracuse. Pittsburgh is favored by 2.
That's crazy. I haven't seen anything from Pitt that's been very remarkable this year. Syracuse either. Man, I haven't even watched Syracuse, but I didn't know they were leading the Big East until... I think Podcast told me last night when we were picking these games to throw in.
I should point out they're leading because they have played one Big East game and won.
Oh, really?
I forget against 2, but yeah.
1-0. Hey, a lead's a lead. UConn is not. UConn was everybody's pick to win this conference. They haven't looked. They haven't looked good. Looked good to this point against non-conference competition at least. But the Big East is really crappy. This will be one of those. It seems like the Big East is kind of like the NFC South in the NFL. A different team wins it every year, and this might be the Cuse's turn to take charge. And because we got this little young guy tailgating with us now from Syracuse, I'm going to pick Syracuse.
No, I can't pick Syracuse. No way. I'm still going. I'm going to pull a Podcat, and I'm going to stay with the Stash here. So this is for you, Podcat. I'm going with the Wand Stash.
Not a bad choice. All right, next, South Carolina coming off that big win, heads to Kentucky, who coming off a field goal loss to Auburn. South Carolina's favored by 6.
This will be a pretty interesting matchup because you got the whole letdown factor going on. South Carolina, it might even be better that South Carolina's maybe even traveling for this game to get away from the buzz around Columbia right now. So, good defense against the offense. They can really put up some points. They showed Kentucky showed some moxie. They were down by 2 touchdowns to Auburn, and came back and tied, and it took Auburn, you know, last second field goal to win. But the whole letdown factor still weighs pretty heavily for me. I believe in it, and I think Kentucky's going to keep this one close, and I think Kentucky's going to cover.
Yeah, I think Kentucky covers this game. I'm not sure if they win it, because I think South Carolina may pull this out in the end. But Kentucky's a lot tougher than people give them credit for. So I'm going to say that I have to take Kentucky no matter what. You know, they probably wind up winning this game, but they'll definitely cover.
All right, next up, what on paper at least was supposed to be the big matchup of the weekend before Texas decided to go and have a rebuilding year. Texas traveled to Nebraska for what may be the last time in a long time that these two play each other. Nebraska is favored by 8.
I got a sneaking suspicion that I think Texas is going to keep this one close. They're not going to win. I think Nebraska wins. But something about this, I think Texas is going to play this game a little bit tougher than what they've been playing here lately. So I like Texas to keep it close, and I will take the 8.5.
God, I got to agree with you here. I there's something about this game that just kind of, you know, sticks right there and says, God, Texas cannot be as bad as what they're, you know, just because, maybe it's just because of past years, but I keep telling myself, God, it can't be as bad as what they're showing, and they got to beat somebody sooner or later, and I'm just thinking this may be the somebody that they beat because Nebraska's going to come in here and think, you know, they've manhandled people thus far, except for that one, whatever it was, Division II or, you know, 122nd ranked team. They beat everybody else to a pulp. So Texas can physically keep with them. It's just a question of whether Texas executes or not. So I got to go with Texas.
All right. Last one before our game. Vandy at Georgia. Georgia is a 16-point favorite because, you know, all of a sudden Georgia's back because they whooped up on Tennessee. So
yeah.
I don't buy it at all. I don't buy it at all.
They were 12 against Tennessee, and so you got to think they're at least 4 points better than that against Vandy. A.J. Green may single-handedly save Mark Richt's job. That's how valuable he is to the Georgia Bulldogs. They still might. They'll probably start them going 6-6, 5-7, but they're going to beat Vandy by 3 touchdowns.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think they're going to have a 2-game winning streak. That's basically what this amounts to, is a 2-game winning streak, and they're going to win this one pretty easy. Even though Vanderbilt put up how many points last week? You know,
more than double what I said they would.
You know, that's more points than they probably put up the first 5 games of the year. So, yeah, that was it. They busted their load in that last game. So they're not going to score anything this game.
They've hit their quota.
Yep. Georgia's going to win this easy. Running away.
All right, I don't think I even need to give it, but LSU is 26-point favorite at home against McNeese this week. So if you want to give your final thoughts.
Yeah, I will give my final thoughts, and I will give a score since we will not be doing this show on Saturday. Like we said in the game, this is a game where LSU needs to fine-tune some things, work on some things. You're going to see a pretty vanilla game plan, but this is a Division I-AA team we're playing. We've already seen 2 Division I-AA teams beat Division I-A teams so far this season, so they've hit their quota on that. I don't think it's going to happen on Saturday. LSU's not going to come out and score 50 points on them either, which I know a lot of people want to see. But don't expect that. LSU's going to win this game somewhere in the neighborhood of 34-6, 34-7. I think we'll be just good enough. I think we'll cover the 26.5 by 2 points. It's going to be like a 28-point victory.
LSU's going to score in the 40s here. I mean, they're going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 45, something like that. I think we actually put it in the end zone. We get to the red zone this time, so that means they're going to score, 6 times? In the red zone, you know, and kick 1 field goal because they're going to stall out at about the 30, and he's going to kick like a 40-something yarder.
We were 100% against Florida.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with 45-6. I guess that answers it. They're covering the spread.
Yeah, I guess it does too. I'm sitting there waiting because I'm thinking there's another game to pick, but it's not. So. All right, that will wrap it up for our midweek show tonight. Sorry for those of you, you fans of Poser that were tuning in just to hear him tonight. We apologize for him not being here. You were stuck with me and Patrick, and this is your one. This has to last all the way to next week. Like I said, we won't be around Saturday. So next time you hear us is going to be post game wrap up of McNeese and a heavy preview for Auburn because that's an away game and. Probably won't have a Saturday show for that one either. So tune in next week. Again, continue to follow the site all week for any kind of news, information, game preview of McNeese State, more coverage of the earthquake game from 1988 against Auburn. I'm sure we'll probably even speak to that a little bit Auburn week as well, since it's our site's namesake, again, thevalleyshake.com. So thank you to Pat Podcast for producing. If you want to call it that, I guess you call it that. Yeah, producing. Patrick for helping me co-host and stretching me along. Sorry for the interruptions in between the show tonight. I put the podcast workload on him a little bit more because of some screaming kids. But bodily duties call. And, just say goodnight to my daughter before I came in for him. So that was my fault. But anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see y'all next week. Go Tigers. We're done.